And now online, via various audio providers, on your phone or tablet, via your desktop or laptop, I don't know, it's time for another edition of Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast.
Hey there, how's tricks? I'm Ian Danter of TalkSport and Planet Rock presenting fame, and this is my Barmy Old Podcast, 18 episodes old today. We can now legally drink in a pub then. And they're open, good. As always, this here show features a good half hour's worth of topical sketches, songs and daft voices put together by myself and my compadres, Sean Percival and Andy Robinson. Most of it freshly written and recorded this week. Plus there's a smattering of archive stuff from our BRMB and Heart FM shows that we used to do back when local commercial radio actually had some identity and individuality. Hey, those were the days. Sadly, never to return, it seems. Now on today's show, driving gigs hit a snag. Des shows he's a king birder, as if you didn't know that already. We find out what's the most annoying thing a survey has found about Match of the Day for viewers, and Billy Idol feels the need for a rewrite of lyrics in these modern times. But before we hear from genuine rock royalty up shortly, let's get to the Barmy Old Podcast news desk for the very latest from Jim White and first, Hugh Edwards. Thank you, Ian, and hello to you. Despite Chief Scientific Advisor Patrick Vallance saying national measures might be necessary if there were fresh waves of coronavirus in the coming months, Boris Johnson has insisted he can avoid imposing another England-wide lockdown this winter. Johnson is also waiting for the delivery on his Amazon order of a bag of magic beans. Princess Beatrice has shared photographs online of her secret wedding at Windsor Castle, although her father, Prince Andrew, seems to be absent from the family pictures. Although, let's face it, he'll just claim he was having dough balls at Pizza Express in Woking. Twitter has taken down a video retweeted by Donald Trump that contained music from the US rock band Linkin Park, citing a copyright complaint. One less tweet by the president, and one less song from Linkin Park. Everyone's a winner, baby. Johnny Depp has appeared at court in his divorce proceedings wearing a bandana as a face mask. Not only useful to avoid spreading COVID-19, but, by the sound of it, incredibly handy for when he throws back his duvet. An area of rundown properties in Birmingham has been renamed the Jack Grealish Free Kicks Estate, because everyone is a complete dive. And now for more sports news, Jim White. Thanks, Hugh. Jofra Archer was dropped from the England cricket team after visiting his home in Hove in between the first test at the Aegeus Bowl in Southampton and the second test at Old Trafford. Archer claimed he was just testing his eyesight ahead of the drive up to Manchester, and a spokesman for the ECB said that only a stupid, gullible idiot with a brain the size of a pea would believe such a cock and bull story. And I can tell you it's also been confirmed that the rest of the England cricket team will leave the biosecure bubble later this week and enter a non-biosecure bubble. When asked for comment, the ECB spokesman said, "Non-bio is softer on the skin." Thank you, Jim, and that's it from us. You're up to date. Thanks, fellas. All right, let's crack on with the sing-song, like we usually do to get started. And this idea is actually based on a picture I saw on Facebook of a sandwich board outside a pub somewhere, lambasting the PM with three lines of very apposite lyrics next to a picture of Freddie Mercury on stage in his yellow jacket. I thought it was brilliant and needed expanding upon, so I credit whichever pub it was in the first place. So anyway, a bloke told everyone it was okay to shake people's hands, right? And he caught the virus. He told everyone to stay at home and save lives while his best mate toured the country. And then he said there's no need to wear a mask. And now he's saying you have to wear one here and not there. Hey, I'll tell you something. Rock legends Queen are not impressed by him. Who, I hear you asking? as if he didn't know. You tell him, Freddy.
A Boris Sharapatin in a balls up, shaking people's hands. You caught COVID-19 that day. No mask on your face, your big disgrace. Breathing your germs all over the place. So
we will mock you. We will mock you.
Mock you. Well, Boris, you're a crap man, fat man, lying through your teeth to the country every day. You said stay in one place, you're so two-faced, when Cummings was driving all over the place. So
we will mock you.
Sing it!
We will mock you.
Mock you. Well, Boris, you're a man with no plans, sitting on your ass, benching Mr. Cobra meeting today. Your world-class track and trace is not in place. Now you've got it all over your face.
So we will mock you.
Sing it.
We will mock you.
Everybody,
we will mock you. We will mock you.
All right.
Freddy, thank you for coming on to the Barmy Odd podcast. I just want to be clear about this. Boris has been in charge now for around about 9 months as Prime Minister. What have you made of his tenure in charge of the country so far?
It's a kind of tragic.
Right.
It's a kind of tragic.
Okay, anything further?
A kind of tragic.
Okay. Black Country Bob time now. And it's always important, I think, to make sure that those of you listening outside the West Midlands are left in no doubt that Birmingham and the Black Country are not one and the same. There's a lot of rivalry between the two, and the Black Country accent is crucially different from a Brummie one. How are ya in Birmingham becomes how am ya in Wolverhampton. You see? And of course, the politically incorrect MP for Dudley would always have a chip on his shoulder about England's second city being so close to his patch. And here's an example from our Heart FM days of him shouting down Tony Blair back in 2005. And in doing so, showing just how heartless and disinterested he is in anything outside his constituency. Sing along.
He's in the House of Commons, he's parliamentary, and proudly representing his constituency. He's the perfect politician until he opens his gob. He's the MP for Dudley, he's Black Country Bob.
Mr. Spiker!
Yes, Prime Minister's questions. Yes, Black Country Bob.
Right then, Mr. Spiker, I put it to the ask that not one penny of taxpayers' money should be used to help the victims of Birmingham's tornado.
What? Well, why not?
Because they don't deserve it. That's why.
Unbelievable.
I'm sick of hearing about it. Moan. It was only a bit of wind, for Christ's sake.
Look, millions of pounds of damage was caused. It was a terrifying storm.
So what? There was an earthquake in Dudley a couple of years ago. But did we whine on about it? No, we did. We took it like a man. We just filled the cracks in the stone cladding and got on with it.
This is utterly ridiculous.
The International Red Cross sent some food parcels, but there were no faggots in them, so we sent them back.
Well, once again, the Right Honourable Member for Dudley is showing his rank ignorance.
What?
A tornado is a terrifying force of nature. A twister is a dangerous phenomenon that can cause severe injuries.
You what?
I said twisters can cause injuries.
Oh, I don't know. I pulled a muscle trying to get my left foot onto a red circle when we played it last week at home.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
What have you all laughing at?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, in this house. I mean, them all.
Now, Andy sent me an article this week from one of the tabloids that he'd spotted online, listing the top 30 most irritating clichés used by football pundits when they're talking about the matches they're analysing on the telly. I mean, it is pretty true, I suppose. Having been in the game myself for two decades now, footballers and pundits do tend to speak in clichés sometimes. Just can't help it. They always keep saying the same sort of thing. So maybe what you have to do is you have to ask different questions for it to seem more interesting, right? So with that in mind, here's Magnus Magnusson to see if playing Mastermind can help these guys. And we welcome back Ray Parler, who scored 8 points in his specialist subject round of Times What I Have Made David Dean Laugh Like Lord Charles. Here comes your general knowledge round, Ray, starting now. How would you describe my pheasant that's been chopped down the middle?
It was a game of two halves.
Correct. My hand's got five fingers and a thumb. What else could you call it?
It's a six-pointer.
Correct. Taylor Swift has written all the names of her friends down. What is it?
Pass.
What would you call a thing on the bottom of not the right leg that had read a lot of Shakespeare?
Couch your left foot.
Correct. Why did the boy fail his basic mathematical concepts exam?
He gave 110%.
Correct. What happened to the man with a poor sense of direction and amnesia when he tried to make his way backstage at the massive O2 Arena?
He lost the dressing room.
Correct. What do you make of the Gareth Hale lookalike who employed the real thing so he could work for a living?
Oh, he's got genuine pace.
Correct. To earn a living, Penn's people have to reform. What should they call their new tour?
Some tired legs out there.
Correct. What does Rand Giggs think when he visits his family?
It's a good time to score.
Correct. What do you think the bare minimum requirement is for 11 players to get paid millions for what is essentially a kickabout?
Pass.
Why does Pete Doherty consider buying drugs off a silly mid-on?
It could be a cricket score.
Correct. What have you heard about Yuri Gagarin?
Oh, he was in acres of space.
Correct. At Christmas, my grandfather doesn't like the board game Balderdash, but will still participate. What would you call him?
No-nonsense player.
Correct. I hear that Jesus' crucifixion was badly attended. What do you know?
Pass.
What do you think would happen if a few actresses who played Lady Bracknell from the Oscar... I've started, so I'll finish. What do you think would happen if a few actresses who played Lady Bracknell from the Oscar Wilde play The Importance of Being Earnest got together and went over their most famous line?
Oh, yeah, there's a bit of handbags going on there.
Correct. You passed on three. Taylor Swift has written all the names of her friends down. What was it? That was good squad on paper.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the bare minimum requirement is for 11 players to get paid millions for what is essentially a kickabout? That is a team that likes to play football.
Oh,
and finally, I hear that Jesus' crucifixion was badly attended. What do you know? The answer was, that was a great cross, but there was no one there.
Oh, I never got that.
Ray Parler, you've scored 17 points. Thank you very much.
Oh, cheers. Anyone fancy a pint?
This is the Barmy Old Podcast with me, Ian Danter, Dez and the Mr. Men coming up later, don't forget. Now, what with the Me Too movement that's around now and all the seedy revelations about radio and TV presenters that have cropped up over the last decade, celebrities are now very anxious not to be linked in any way, shape or form with any kind of wrongdoing. And now that he's in his 60s, 80s punk rocker turned arena star Billy Idol has decided that it's inappropriate now for him to sing his big hit about a girl celebrating her 16th birthday anymore. And he's very kindly updated the song lyric just for us here on the Barmy Old Podcast. All yours, Bill.
Well, I'd do anything for my mature 34-year-old. And I'd do anything for my fully grown woman. She'd been around the block and she'd done everything before she met me. Oh, mature 34-year-old. It was all consensual. I never took any liberties with her. Someone checked the date of birth of my mature 34-year-old. She wrote out a consent form and filled it in. And I'd do anything for my mature 34-year-old. And I'd do anything for my fully grown woman.
So Billy, will you be changing any more of your lyrics now you're getting on in years?
Well, yes I will, Ian. Because instead of saying, nice day for a white wedding.
Yeah.
It'll be a crab day at my mate's funeral.
Oh, right, yeah.
And instead of Rebel Yell, I thought I'd do this instead,
right?
Because in the midnight hour, I'll cry nurse, nurse, nurse. With a pensioner's yell, I cry nurse, nurse, nurse. Ow! Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, cheers, Billy. Thank you very much. Of course, we've been trying to get sponsorship involvement here on the Bar Me Old podcast since its inception. 18 episodes in, we've had a bit of luck here and there, but not too much. And we've got a sponsor for you now. Here's a message from our latest sponsor, one for men of a certain age, I would say.
Erectile dysfunction is common amongst men. Doing something about it is less common. If you can't get it up but are too embarrassed to go to the doctors, then visit newbloke.com and we'll send you some Viagra at a vastly inflated price. And are you, like 80% of men, suffering some form of hair loss? Then newbloke.com can solve that little problem too. With Newbloke's revolutionary new transplant procedure, you'll have a new head of hair, but be a couple of grand worse off, whilst a bloke from Albania will have an extra 20 quid in his pocket, but no scrotum. Newbloke.com. Do something about it. Hair transplants don't always work. You might end up looking like Wayne Rooney. Erections can go down as well as up.
Cricket is back on the TV at the moment. England playing the West Indies in a test series. And that also means that TMS, or Test Match Special, as it's known, is back on the radio. I must say, it is strange to see the TV coverage on Sky without David Gower as an anchorman, since he was let go by Sky at the end of his last contract, accusations of ageism. Now, over the last few years, a couple of ageing legendary commentators have been put out to grass and can no longer be heard on the airwaves. But we've managed to track them down on the Bar Me Old podcast, and they've still got plenty to say.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sunnyside Residential Home. I'm Henry Bluefield, and joining me to watch fellow resident 99-year-old Eric Earnshaw's attempt to climb a flight of stairs is recent arrival here, Geoffrey Boycott. What do you think there, Geoffrey?
Well, I'll tell you something, Henry. Eric is not going to reach 100 if he doesn't improve his technique. He needs to buckle down and apply himself.
Well, Eric is 98, my dear old thing. He started off okay, but now that he's only got 3 stairs left before he reaches the landing, he looks worn out.
He's not concentrating, Henry, and he's not moving his feet either. He needs to get his body weight forward and bend that front knee. I look at him, swaying onto the back foot. Very rash, that, Henry, very rash. He could go at any moment.
Oh, help!
Gone! He's gone! He's gone! Straight through the patio doors, at the bottom of the stairs, and I think he's unconscious.
Out! Out! He's out, Henry, and he'll be kicking himself when he sees a replay of that. Although, from the look of that ankle, I don't think he'll be kicking anything for a long time.
Well, that's it for today. Join us tomorrow when we'll see how two care workers get on trying to lift 87-year-old 14-stone Edna onto the commode.
A lot of tabloid headlines this week surrounding mega movie star Johnny Depp. Amber Heard, this lady has accused Johnny Depp of being violent towards her, and Johnny, in turn, has accused Amber Heard of defecating on his bed. Talk about love turning sour. I wonder what the peace-loving, chilled-out, laid-back, ganja-smoking Bob Marley and the Wailers would have made of all this.
Well, he's worried about a stink. 'Cause that punky little stink, it doesn't smell alright. Johnny's worried about a stink. 'Cause that whiffy little stink, it doesn't smell alright.
Johnny woke up this morning, found what Amber had done. 3 little turds on his bed sheet. Left by his wife, a horrible smelly poo.
Johnny, it's all over between you two.
Time to delve into Desi's diaries, detailing more of his adventures in a number of compromising situations. Not that he minds the compromise, of course. Here he is then, back on Heart FM in 2005, indulging in a very different kind of bird watching to what he's used to.
Desi's diary.
Hi, girls. Des here on Ian Danter's Sunday Carve-Up here on 100.7 Heart FM. And it's time, once again, for Des's Diaries. And today, it's a big... Hi, girls. It's all the staff at Robin's Aviary. Well, would you believe it? I recently went. When I arrived, Robin had got a couple of young hatchlings inside her jumper, but as soon as she saw me, she lifted up her top to reveal a beautiful pair of blue tits.
They're not my favourite species, though,
she said.
What I really like is a nice swallow.
Well, what can I say? I got my best of breed out to show her, and as she grabbed hold of it, it started to bite and nip.
I've never had my hand around such an impressive pecker,
she gasped.
Can I have it?
Well, you certainly can, I replied. I'll tell you something. After an afternoon on the nest, that robin certainly ended up with a red breast.
Fantastic.
Well, ladies, these days I combine my love of ornithology with my enthusiasm for taxidermy. I suppose you could say I really enjoy stuffing birds.
Cheerio.
Des's Diary. The Sunday Carve-Up. 100.7 Heart FM.
Aston Villa player Jack Grealish is a bit of a controversial figure at the moment, but he does give up a lot of his time coaching youngsters on all aspects of the beautiful game. And we very luckily here at the Buy Me Your Podcast managed to get our hands on a sneak preview of Jack's new TV coaching series.
Hello, kids. My name's Jack Grealish and welcome to my football masterclass.
Yay!
So imagine this, kids. Your team's in a relegation battle. Your Premier League survival is at stake. The ball comes to you right just inside the penalty area. You've got opposition players all around you, and one of them makes a genuine attempt to get to the ball. What do you do?
Jack, I know, Jack. You sell the defender a dummy, flick the ball up in the air, and bicycle kick it into the far corner.
Yeah, all right, son. Come on, be realistic. I play for the Villa, not Barcelona.
Me, Jack. I know. You nutmeg the defender and blast the ball into the back of the net.
Well, you've been reading too many Roy of the Rovers magazines, our kid.
Well, what's the answer then, Jack?
Right, kids, listen carefully to this, right? As the defender's foot comes into contact with the ball, the first thing you do is you throw both of your hands into the air as though you've been shot through the back by a high-powered rifle, right? Then you dramatically throw yourself to the ground. Now, the next bit is very, very important. I can't stress this enough. Always remember to clutch the back of your leg as you go down and roll over a few times after you've hit the floor, right? And last but by no means least, you let out ear-piercing, high-pitched screams beating the ground with your hands as you do it. Okay, kids? All right, now get into your groups and start practicing. And don't forget the screams. Well, that's it for this week's masterclass. Join us next week when Bruno Fernandes will show the kids how to jump on a defender's legs and still get the penalty.
Now, you might have seen a spoofed documentary on telly the other week where Gary and Martin Kemp of Spandau Ballet fame played kind of exaggerated versions of themselves to poke fun at that recent very serious Bros documentary that was called When the Screaming Stops. Well, it was meant to be serious. And this Kemp's The Truth show was actually pretty funny, made by Rhys Thomas, who was behind Simon Day's brilliant Brian Pern character. But I saw quotes from Spandau Ballet lead singer Tony Hadley last week, distinctly unimpressed with this programme and the Kemp brothers' efforts. Now, of course, relations between Hadley and the Kemps have been strained for many years since the band split up. And back in 2005, Martin Kemp was
front and centre, you might remember, of a very, very high-profile furniture store's TV ad campaign. And Hadley was enraged enough at having to constantly look at his former bandmate gawping out the screen at him to sing about it on our Sunday carve-up show. God, no love lost there.
Martin camps on a settee.
Oh, come in. You can help me decide.
On that DFS ad, his last is dignity. That advertisement makes us sick.
And you get interest-free credit.
It's on TV each day. It's getting on our way.
0% over 3 years.
And I know when it's playing, we all fly into a rage.
It's a double discount.
We'd like to shove Martin Camp's head through a barricade. Cut price furniture, he plugs.
Stores in Dollydale and Mation.
Martin's just sitting there, looking very smug. Every commercial break, he's back.
Oh, come in, you can help me decide again.
Hasn't he got the kind of face you'd really want to smack? And I know when it's playing, we all fly into rage.
Hurry, while stock's lost.
We'd like to shove Martin Camp's head through a barricade. I don't know what they pay him, but I hope that it's a good wage. 'Cause someone's gonna shove his head through a barricade.
Time for another previously undiscovered and unheard Mr. Men story, narrated by the late, great Arthur Lowe, that we've managed to unearth for you. On the Buy Me Old podcast last week, you may remember that we mentioned the 1.5 billion government funds that are going to the arts and wondering exactly where the cash is going to be distributed. Well, there's a lot of uncertainty amongst all sorts of folk who work in the industry about that. Like this guy.
Mr. Thespian hadn't been on stage at the RSC in Stretford since the lockdown started in mid-March, and he was frustrated. But not nearly as frustrated as his family. To be or not to be, that is the question. Hamlet, Act 3, Scene 1, stated Mr. Thespian as he came into the kitchen.
Oh, give your son a shout and tell him his breakfast's ready, replied his wife.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Romeo and Juliet, Act 2, Scene 3, shouted Mr. Thespian.
Oh, how many times have I got to tell you? Your son's called Martin, not Romeo,
scolded Mr. Thespian's wife.
You really have got to stop all this ridiculous quoting. We're meeting friends later, she added.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, Julius Caesar, Act 3, Scene...
Oh, shut up, you dork!
Shouted Mr. Thespian's wife at him, loudly. The lady doth protest too much, methinks. Hamlet, Act 3, Scene 2, said Mr. Thespian, standing with his legs apart, hands on hips.
Right, that's it. I've had enough of this,
cried Mr. Thespian's wife as she left the room. The course of true love never did run smooth. A Midsummer Night's Dream, Act 1, Scene 1, bellowed Mr. Thespian, just as his wife came back into the room, holding a machine gun. Is that a dagger I see before me? Macbeth, Act 2, Scene 1, asked Mr. Thespian.
No, it's an AK-47,
she replied. And can you guess what Mr. Thespian's wife said then? Yes, you're right, she said. Say hello to my little friend. Scarface, final act, final scene. And can you guess what she did next? Yes, you're right again. Poor Mr. Thespian. The pompous old...
Finally on the show this week, further to the arts issue, and how it recovers from the pandemic. There was huge disappointment this week for musicians like myself, as a series of drive-in concerts in the UK were cancelled right at the last minute due to coronavirus fears. So there were bands like Ash, The Lightning Seeds, Those Damn Crows, Gary Numan, all set to play on these gigs, as well as TV betting advert icon and rapper Dizzy Rascal. Now, he's not HP about all this, he's old Dizzy, and normally he's quite the upbeat chap, I find.
I wake up every day, it's a nightmare. COVID-19's got us all scared. The live music scene is not thriving, so I thought I'd do a gig at a drive-in. But what's happened is not that funny. Thought it was a chance to earn some money. And the live music scene is broken, but all of the pubs can be open. Some people think it's bonkers, but I just think it's sad. We all want to live our life, do band driving gigs is mad. Some people want to pay for frills, some people just want to dance. But if you want to see a gig, you haven't got a chance.
Bonkers.
I wake up every day and I'm stalling. Everything in my life is so boring. I just want to have some enjoyment, but I'm facing unemployment. We're living in a time of silence, thanks to that coronavirus. Now the gigs are gone, I don't know what to do. Have to get a job at my local B&Q.
Bonkers.
Some people think it's bonkers, some might think it's bizarre, that you can't watch your gig even when you're stuck in your car. Some people pay for tickets and they would drive around. Man, I'm trying to live my life, but everything is closed down.
Bonkers.
Yeah, cheers for that, Dizzy. Oh, here's Gary Numan, who was also meant to play at one of these shows. What do you make of all this, Gary?
Here in my car, I am stuck on the drive. I'll have to do a jigsaw, cause now I can't perform live. We're barred. You're in your car, and you had bought some tickets. But now get back in your house and watch some more Netflix. You're barred.
Well, there you have it then. We're done and dusted for episode 18. Many thanks to Sean and Andy, as always, for their mega input into the show. And thank you for listening to it. Please continue to rate, review and subscribe. That gives us a chance to make more of an impact on, you know, chart countdowns and all that sort of guff. Just increases our profile, and I'm certain you want that, right? You certainly want our profile to go up, don't you? Good. A 19th episode, you say? Of course. That's coming along next time. Don't worry about that. Take care of yourself and look after those around you. And we'll see you back here for the next Barmy Old Podcast. And as Des would say,
cheerio.